And welcome back to Access Cleveland This Morning. Now, with me today is a very powerful and inspirational gentleman, because not only is he an author, he's an educator, he is a motivator, a mentor, and also he's a host. Now, you may have seen him on TV One, Save My Son. Also, he's an education contributor to MSNBC and also CNN. We're talking about Dr. Steve Perry. How are you today?
I'm chilling, man. How are things in Cleveland?
Oh, things are going great. Things are going great. But of course, when it comes to our children and it comes to our education system, they can always be better. And that's why I'm glad that we have you on the show today, Dr. Perry, because when it comes to education, you're the guy that seems to, you know, have the right answers. So let's start off with that. Many larger cities in urban neighborhoods, the public school system seems to be broken. So what, if anything, can be done to fix that?
Well, unfortunately, cities like Cleveland and Hartford and others have school systems that have failed to meet the needs of the community. And we can keep pouring good kids into failed schools so that the adults in them get to keep their jobs. Or what we can do is say that we've had enough, and we can start to create opportunities where there's real school choice, where you can get children into the best schools for them, even if the best school is not at the end of their block. They could be neighborhood schools, they could be charter schools, they could be magnet schools, they could be at-home schools, or even online. Mm-hmm. But the deal is this. We've tried the other way for about three generations now.
Right.
And especially in the Black and Latino community, our kids are being crushed by a failed system that only supports the people who work in it.
Right, right. And Dr. Perry, of course, you are the principal up at Capital Prep up in Hartford, Connecticut. Let's talk about what things worked for you at Capital Prep. And of those things that that worked for you, what should public schools implement?
Well, we are a public school, and it's important to know
that. Okay.
I work for Hartford Public Schools. Trust me, they tell me often. And it's imperative that people understand that public or private doesn't necessarily determine the effectiveness of a school. Mm-hmm. What does is how the school is run. It begins with a high expectation. Every child in the school should be expected to perform.
Right.
And in a model that is successful. Why are we sending kids home in Cleveland at you know, before 3 o'clock
right.
in the afternoon? And why we send them home all summer? Who does that benefit? Y'all ain't growing anything out there like that.
Right.
Give the entire school system the summer off.
Right.
What we've done is we've created a system that's too comfortable for adults. We could focus too much on the working conditions and not enough on the education conditions. Why does a school have 7 periods?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows. Well, because that's what the unions negotiated, because that's how many minutes in the day. So that's why 45 minutes are in so many school periods. You need to use research to determine what's best for the school, and need to create different school opportunities.
Right.
And that cannot be overstated. Not every child wants to go to a traditional school.
Right.
And you shouldn't have to win a lottery, which is absurd in the United States of America. You have to win a lottery to go to a good school or be wealthy enough to move to a good suburb.
Right.
You should have access regardless without having to change your address.
So along those lines, and without changing your address, let's talk about some of the factors that are key for a child's success. When you look at the students that you have that are successful, is there a certain underlying factor that they all have in common?
You know, no. You know, we could talk about the it factor that some kids have,
mm-hmm.
but the fact is that the single characteristic that I see that all the students that are successful have in common
mm-hmm.
is that they have people who believe in them, not necessarily the people at their house.
Right.
But many of us, brother, as you know, spend more time dealing with the people in our lives who love us, who act like they hate on us, than the people who hate on us who act like they love us.
Right.
I mean, that's not the real issue. The real issue is that they need educators and coaches and pastors and imams who care enough about them to push them. The reason why kids join gangs, or why a girl, for instance, would join be a part of an abusive relationship, is because they have low self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
and they just want somebody, anybody, to love them. And our problem is that we, the people who know better, are not creating these school systems. We can create schools that feel loving. Our average daily attendance at Capital Prep is 96.9.
Wow.
That's on a 202-day school year.
Wow.
So we start our first day of school on July 5. That means our kids are in blazers and ties on July 5.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the only one. There are schools all over the country that are just like us.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's I guess, that we need to talk more about, the longer school years. you know, of course, I'm thinking back to my days in school, and I think that, you know, we would always look forward to that summer break. We have those 3 months off. But nowadays, when you have the advances in technology, and of course, it's now an international market where these children are going to be competing with the Chinese and other countries. How important now is it to have longer school years?
Well, brother, I'm going to be honest with you. We all look forward to the first couple weeks, maybe the first 2 weeks of summer.
Mm-hmm.
But then there really wasn't anything to do.
Right.
Nothing that was legal or
right,
good.
Right, right.
I mean, you just run out of legal fun things to do after a while. So you end up doing some real grimy things.
Right, right.
Maybe, well, maybe not you, but I know
right,
some people
right,
who ended up doing some real not so legal things. And many of us were put in Upward Bound programs and other summer programs that helped us become successful. Kids get bored.
Yeah.
They really get bored. There's nothing for them to do. And then some parents spend a whole bunch of time telling them, you better stay in the house, you better lock the door, you better let nobody come in, and don't call nobody. I mean, kids
right,
are prisoners for 6, 8, 10 weeks. That's not cool either.
Right.
You know, so here's what I would also want to say, that black people and Latinos, we need to understand that we on many levels have as much access to everything that can be learned as anybody on earth
mm-hmm,
right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's second and third world countries that are beating us because their families understand that if you want to learn how to do something, just go on the internet.
Right. That's right. So, yeah, the excuse now of our books are outdated, that excuse shouldn't apply anymore, right?
Not at all. In fact, when we were building our school, one of the things I was troubled by was that we had to build a library.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my pocket with this smartphone, I have more information than
right,
any library could ever hold.
That's right. That's right.
And each one of our children have them. And the digital divide has been closed, if not completely obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
So we can give our children access to anything. If your child doesn't know how to do fractions, go right on Khan Academy.
Mm-hmm.
It's free. If your child can't add whole numbers, they can go right on Khan Academy. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
If your child is having trouble reading, they can go and do something like testmykid.com
mm-hmm,
and get an inexpensive test of whether or not their child's abilities are there. You know, there are things that you can do to help out in the process, but here's the problem. Even the most well-intended parent who's forced to send their child to a failed school
mm-hmm,
is going to end up with a child who's uneducated or undereducated.
Wow.
You can do the best that you can, but if they go to a chemistry teacher who doesn't teach them chemistry, you're hit.
Right, right. So what does a parent do in a situation like that?
Fight for school choice.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, call your board of education members and tell them, look, you don't send your kids these raggedy schools. Why should I send mine?
Right. I agree.
I want my kids to go to the same school as yours. And then every single time when these teachers' unions get out there, start running their mouths about, you know, they're closing our schools. It ain't your school they're closing because your kid's school is going to stay open out
mm-hmm,
the summer.
Right.
You ain't putting your child in the school that are employing you. You have your child as far away from this school as possible.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So let's talk about your book, Dr. Perry, Push Has Come to Shove. And you address a lot of these issues in your book. Tell our listeners a little bit more about Push Has Come to Shove.
Push Has Come to Shove is a no-holds-barred look from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an insider. I'm not one of these people who's just lobbing bombs at the school system from the outside. I work in Hartford Public Schools. I run a public school, and I'm telling you that your kids are being played.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that black and Latino boys are the most suspended, most expelled, and most punished, and the lowest performing. Shocker.
Right.
There's an over-feminization of primary education. I talk about that, how the school systems are not set up to bring the best out of our boys. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not concerned about whether or not that hurts some grown people's feelings.
And a part of that, and let's be honest, a part of that, some people who actually may be hearing this, there's a group, the teachers union, that's very powerful, that has a lot of influence. And, you know, God bless them. I don't have anything against the teachers union, but they may be offended by some of the things that you may say. So what do you say to those people?
I don't care if the teachers union is offended by
mm-hmm,
what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if they're not, then they're not listening.
Right.
I need them to hear me loud and clear that their practices make it harder for even the best administrators to get rid of ineffective educators.
Mm-hmm.
They're designed to do that, and they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is a teacher who's teaching algebra for 1 year, who's not doing a good job, it may take us 2 and 3 years to get rid of that individual because of their tenure.
Wow.
I'm saying that that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
When is the time that these organizations are going to spill into the streets and say, we do not want another failed school to stay open in this community. We will not have it. When are they going to fight for the replication of the most successful schools in Cleveland? Why isn't it that schools in Cleveland that are performing aren't multiplying in doubles and triples? Why is it that those schools would have to fight to get more children when they are the ones who have the waiting list? When the community said that we want you and that school says, well, we'll take you if we just have more space. Why? Because to do so would mean that the union would lose its control on our community. Our community has to understand that the union has turned its back on us. It has turned its back on us and has lied to us and made us think that they are the ones who are protecting us from privatization. Privatization is what they've done. Mm-hmm. When they collect dues from teachers, even though the teachers don't want to give them, when they collect those dues and use them against ed reform, they're using them against our community. That's what teachers unions are doing. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Now, is it now the thing that we have here in Cleveland, there was a period of time, I would say, now this is just me guessing, but it was between about 15 years between times where the voters in the city passed a levy. And just recently, this past one, there was a levy that was passed. So some people think that it's just a money issue that, you know,
not
if we
the money.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Expound on that.
It's not the money. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to send your child to the place that spends the most money per child, then send them to prison. Because that's where the most money is spent.
Wow.
But that's not necessarily the best place for a child.
Right.
So the fact is that the schools that spend the least amount of money per pupil are the Catholic schools.
Mm.
The next ones who spend the least amount of money are the charter schools. They get the least. And then you go to the traditional schools, and that's where you see those are the ones that get the most money. And people say, well, the suburbs collect more money in taxes, and therefore, as a result, they get more money. They get more money per pupil.
Mm-hmm.
Not so, not so at all. In fact, many of the lowest performing school systems don't have enough money in their tax base to get money.
Mm-hmm.
So the suburbs are paying for those school systems anyway. In towns such as Hartford, 85% of the school budget comes from outside the city. 85%, and it's not much different in towns like Cleveland or other cities.
Right.
It's the same.
Wow.
Or Toledo. These are towns where if you don't have the tax base, what happens is that's where state grants come in, that's where federal grants come in, the Title I money, all that money that they say is unfunded mandates for No Child Left Behind.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government gave y'all money, you just used it the wrong way.
Mm. Wow, wow. Dr. Perry, I tell you, when it comes to education, I could talk to you forever, but you're working on some other projects, so I don't want to neglect those because there's some another project that I've actually seen multiple episodes of, and that is Save My Son, the show that's on our sister network, TV One. And I tell you, the programs like this are, I believe, the type of reality television that we need, not the, you know, grown women fighting and stuff like that. Actually, a brother like yourself who's going, reaching into these urban centers and looking for the troubled kids and pulling them up. So let's talk about your experience on Save My Son. How was that for you?
Save My Son in many ways changed me. I did not want to do Save My Son.
Mm.
I didn't want to do any more television. I wouldn't say I was retired. It was just taking too much time out of my life.
Yeah.
I didn't get into, you know, who opens a school in the hood to get on television?
Right.
A real long way to get on TV.
Right.
So, I mean, people ask me, what do I got to do to get on TV? I don't know. I opened a school in the hood. That's what I did. So when they finally convinced me to do it, it was because they told me that we would be able to help other people and their children. And I said, okay, I'm for that. And people come up to me in the airport or when I'm down at Essence or on a regular basis, both educators and parents, and even some kids. It's real cool when kids come up to me and they say, man, you know, I'm living differently because I saw the way CJ was doing his life, and I decided I didn't want to be like that. And when I saw him change, I felt like I could change.
Right.
That moved me, man.
Yeah.
That's some real stuff right there. That matters. So that's the impact that it had on me is that. And to see that, you know, it comes on at 3 o'clock in the morning now, I hear. And somebody's always tweeting me, telling me, man, I stayed up late tonight to watch this, or it's on demand and people still watching it. The show ended almost over a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people still watch it like it's brand new.
Right. And that's how you know that you have something powerful there, because people see that, you know, that these young men were in trouble, and they can actually see, because it wasn't, let's be honest, there was the one young man, I forgot his name, that you couldn't help. His grandmother was stepping in and said, no, nothing's wrong with him. He's fine. You just need to leave him alone. And you said, ma'am, I'm sorry, I can't help him. If you're going to stand in the way, you can't help him. So it doesn't always end good.
Nah, that was, you know, and strangely enough, I've heard from his mother. And I guess he's doing well now.
Good, good, good. Well, that's good.
Hey,
yeah,
he was
challenging. That was a challenging one.
It was, and it was more so because everything. And this is what really happens in real life in my real job, where their mothers and grandmothers would come in and they excuse every sense of tomfoolery that the child is in. You know,
right.
You tell them, you know, your son's in a gang. They're like, no, he's not.
Right.
He is. No, he's not. He is. How do you know? Because he told me.
Right.
No, he didn't. Okay. I don't know.
Right.
You're right. He didn't. I'm making it up. I got nothing else to do today but
right.
to tell you
right.
some lie about your child. But I understand where the lack of trust comes from.
Yeah.
I understand that school systems have, for so many years, led our families to not trust them, and for good reason. I mean, I get it. When parents tell me why they don't trust what we're saying, I get it, man, because you've been done wrong by the system for so long. Why would you trust me now?
Right.
I work for the system.
Right. Exactly. So, all right, Dr. Perry, I know I've taken up a lot of your time, and like I said, I could talk. We got to get you to Cleveland. That's something that we got to do. We got to get
you
to Cleveland.
I can't wait.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of our listeners who would love to talk to you and ask you questions and get some advice from you. But before we let you go, I want you to let our listeners know where they can get your book. And also, is there a chance that we may see a season two of Save My Son?
Well, that's where the community comes in. You know, we fight for what we want when we want something. You know, we'll line up for some Jordans.
Right.
But we line up for television that changes our lives. So, you know, that's the decision you guys are making.
Okay.
If it matters to you, you'll put email to TV1 and you'll tell them, you know, we've seen enough of the reruns of Martin and,
mm-hmm.
and whoever else they have rerunning from the 60s. Right about now.
Right.
Tell them that, you know, holler at your boy and have him put some new stuff on television.
Right, right, right. Awesome. And how can our listeners get your book? Push has come to shove.
They can go to Amazon or they can go to our website, which is drsteveperry.org. That's drsteveperry.org.
All right, Dr. Perry. Oh, and you said you have a Twitter. How can they follow you on Twitter?
At Dr. Steve Perry.
All right, Dr. Steve Perry, once again, it's a pleasure talking to you. I hope to have you back. And not only that, like I said before, I'd love to get you in Cleveland somehow. I'm going to talk to the powers that be and see if we can make that happen.
I would look forward to it. You take care, buddy.
All right, you too. Take care. Thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.